Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Many years ago, I heard Jim Modlish preach a sermon on prayer from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Now, I believe he titled that sermon, The Prayer Bank. Well, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21 say this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, any time that you've heard this passage of Scripture preached before, undoubtedly you've heard it preached concerning money and concerning giving. However, he preached a sermon on prayer using this text because, for one thing, Matthew chapter 6 is a chapter that is devoted almost entirely to prayer. There's praying in here. There's the Lord's Prayer in here. There's fasting in here that is often accompanying prayer. So Brother Modlish concluded that there must be something about laying up treasure in heaven that has something to do with prayer. In fact, you and I have a prayer bank account in heaven. Look with me at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and look at verse 8. "When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." So the prayers of saints made it all the way up into heaven and were contained in these golden vials full of odors. That's an amazing thing. It's like when you pray, those prayers go up and they're stored. You remember when Cornelius did all that praying before Peter came to his house? He said, "Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial." That's something. Look in Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. And look at verses 3 and 4. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 3, "Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." So our prayer comes up before the Lord as incense, and these golden vials full of odors were the prayers of the saints. So it's like when you pray, You are depositing to your prayer bank account in heaven, just like you have a financial bank account on earth. Your prayer bank is where prayers are deposited and where prayers are withdrawn. In other words, sometimes you have to pray for yourself. Sometimes when you pray, you make deposits, and sometimes when you pray, you make withdrawals. But just like at your local bank, if you want to make a withdrawal, you have to have something deposited in there from which to draw. Now, the way to make prayer deposits is to pray for others. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and look at verse 28. Luke chapter 6 and look at verse 28. The Bible says, and Jesus is speaking here and he's talking, teaching his disciples, and he's in the context beginning in verse 27, "I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you." Then verse 28, "Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Well, that's the hardest kind of prayer, praying for others who don't like you, praying for others who are your enemies. Nevertheless, when you pray for others, you know what you're doing? You're giving. You're giving. You're depositing. And according to the Bible, in the same chapter, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, when you give, it shall be given unto you. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." Now that passage also is generally preached as giving money. But in the context of praying for others, it's the same thing. When you give your prayers on behalf of others, the Lord says, I'm going to give to you in the same measure that you gave to me. In other words, that which is given unto you is like the interest that you receive on the money you deposit at the bank. The principle that works in the financial realm works also in the realm of prayer. Now, Christians oftentimes make the mistake of praying mostly for themselves and neglecting to pray for others. Then there's so many things. You've got your family, and you have your marriage, and you have your job, and you have your provisions, and you have your health, and you have the maintenance of your assets and many other things. You have your church and your pastor, and so many things that concern you directly that occupy a lot of time in prayer. But what we want to remember is that we don't want to neglect to pray for others. We don't want to neglect to make deposits to our prayer bank account in heaven. Why? Because this neglect of others in prayer leaves your prayer bank account balance in the red. You don't want to be overdrawn. And many of us have been overdrawn most of the time, resulting in additional prayers being drawn against insufficient funds. You understand? If you withdraw all that you've deposited in your heavenly prayer bank account, and then suddenly you have a big need, you go before the Lord in prayer, and there's nothing in your account. You've withdrawn it all, and now you're beginning to withdraw against insufficient funds. This is a great way of thinking about prayer. So here are some excellent examples from the Bible on praying up treasure in heaven. I didn't say laying up treasure in heaven. I said praying up treasure in heaven, making those deposits up there from which you can, in the future, in a time of need, make your withdrawals. You pray up treasure in heaven through, first of all, intercession. Intercession. Intercession is praying for others, strictly praying for others. It's where you come on behalf of somebody else before the throne of grace to talk to the Lord on their behalf with no selfish reason on your part whatsoever. You are just wanting God to do something for them. And, you know, there are some examples of men who prayed for others. No matter that some of those for whom they prayed were hard to deal with, and God not only heard the prayers and answered on behalf of the persons for whom they prayed, but also gave something back to the person who prayed. Let me give you an example. Turn to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. In Genesis chapter 20, if you're familiar with your Bible, Abraham has gone to Abimelech. Now Sarah's womb is open. Very dangerous situation. God had to close up the wombs there to keep, you know, just keep something from bad from happening to Sarah. Now watch what happens. God spoke to Abimelech in Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, and said, "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." You see that? So Abraham was going to be told by Abimelech to pray for him so that he could live. Now look at verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. But you know the amazing thing? God heard Abraham's prayer on behalf of Abimelech. He laid up, he prayed up treasure in heaven. Look what happens in Genesis chapter 21. Sarah conceived in verse 2. And bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. The Lord gave Abraham and Sarah a baby after Abraham prayed for God to heal Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants so that the wombs of the house of Abimelech could be opened. And those could start bearing children again. Tremendous. He interceded for Abimelech, and God answered, and then blessed Abraham with a withdrawal to allow him to be able to have his own child. Turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. I'm going to give you several examples in a row here. Numbers chapter 11, look at verse 2. The people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. There was a fire of the Lord that burnt among the Jews because they complained in verse 1. And when Moses prayed for them, this fire of the Lord that burnt among them, God, you know what he did? He quenched that fire. Turn to Numbers chapter 21 and look at verse 7. What's going on here is that there are fiery serpents that are biting the people. But again, because they have murmured, again, because they have complained. And in verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And then God gave him an antidote with this brazen serpent raised on a pole so that when they are bitten, they could look at that thing and live. God answered the prayer. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. I'll give you another example. These are intercessory prayers of Moses on behalf of the children of Israel. Numbers chapter 9. Look at verse 20. The Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him, and I prayed for Aaron also the same time. Moses recounting the time when Aaron had made the golden calf, and God was ready to wipe out everybody but Moses. And Moses is recounting here that when the Lord was angry with Aaron, that Moses prayed for Aaron, and then God spared him. Look at verse 26. I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You see, he prayed for those folks, and God did not destroy them all at once. As a matter of fact, the young ones that were under 20 years of age survived to go into the promised land. Those that were 20 years old and up, died in the wilderness because of their disobedience against the Lord. But God answered. God answered those prayers. He answered and quenched the fire. He answered and, you know, gave them an antidote to those fiery serpents that were biting. He prayed and God answered and spared those Jews that were in the wilderness. But you know something? When you read through the Old Testament and you read about that wilderness journey, by the time that Israel had come up to the Jordan River and it was time to cross into the promised land, Moses was denied because Moses struck the rock twice when God had said to speak to the rock that it would bring forth water. And so God said, because of that disobedience, I'm not going to let you go into the promised land. I'll let you go up to Pisgah and see it from Dan to Beersheba, but I'm not going to let you go in. And yet Moses interceded for all those children of Israel that wandered in that wilderness. And you know something? Moses, who was denied entrance into the promised land, is going to return during the tribulation with Elijah, and they're going to walk all over that land for 42 months prophesying before the Lord's return. Isn't that something? God said, "You're not. I'm going to let you go in there." And then before Jesus comes back, he's going to let him go in there, and he is going to prophesy with Elijah during the tribulation for that remnant. Amazing. And against those that are tormenting and persecuting him. What a tremendous thing. Look in Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. Here old Job is, can you blame him? He is just eaten up with all that the devil has done to try to get him to curse God. He lost all of his possessions, lost his children, and then lost his health. And in Job chapter 7, verses 17 to 21, Job is praying for himself and confessing everything he knows. And even still, he was not released from his captivity. He was not released from that temptation of the devil. He said, "What is man that thou shouldst magnify him, and that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldst visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be." Boy, Job wanted this battle to be over, but it wouldn't go away. Nevertheless, after all the things that happen in the book of Job, turn all the way to the last chapter, Job 42, and notice something. Notice something. In Job 42, in verse 7, "It was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz," or Eliphaz, the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job." You see that? "Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job," watch it, "shall pray for you," intercessory prayer. "For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right like my servant Job." So they went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. Verse 10, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Do you see? When Job prayed on the behalf of his friends, then God released him from his captivity. In John chapter 17, in verse 9 and in verse 15 and verse 20, where Jesus is praying to his Father, this is the real Lord's Prayer. At the hour of Jesus' most intense agony, he prayed very little for himself, and he prayed a whole lot for others. As a matter of fact, he prayed for you and me. And you know what? God heard his prayer. And after his resurrection until this day, God has given him millions of others who were redeemed because Jesus Christ died for us and prayed for us. It's a remarkable thing. You want to make deposits into your heavenly prayer bank account? Pray for others. And be aware that God is going to pay you some dividend. He's going to pay you some interest on that bank account. And while you're praying for others, he's going to take care of some of your things. Now, there's some other types of prayer that you can also pray to lay up a little treasure in heaven. How about confession? In Daniel chapter 9, verses 4 through 20, long passage, I won't read it all, but in Daniel chapter 9, verses 4 through 20, Daniel confessed his iniquity, and Daniel confessed the transgressions of his people. And you know what? After Daniel prayed and confessed the iniquity and transgressions of himself and his people, God gave him the answer that allowed him to understand a matter over which he had been praying. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 21 to 27, God gave Daniel an understanding concerning the 70 weeks, this great passage of prophecy here. And it didn't happen until he laid it out before the Lord in confession. In Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28, you read the horrible things that are going to happen to Israel because of their idolatry and because of their rejection of the Lord, and particularly of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they confess their sins before the Lord, God promised them that he would give them relief. And you know something? God gives them relief, but not until they come to him and confess those things they've done wrong. Listen, you really want to do what David did in Psalm 139, the last two verses. You want God to search your heart. You want God to know your ways and your thoughts. You want him to check you out top to bottom and see if there is anything in your life, any iniquity, anything that you're not aware of that is standing between you and the Lord. You know, Isaiah 59 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, 18. Listen, have you noticed that your prayer life seems to be anemic? It may very well be you're not spending nearly enough time praying for others, but way too much time praying for yourself. And you may also find that you've got something between you and the Lord that's impure, that's not sanctified, and the Lord doesn't like it. And he settled in and said, you know what, get that out of the way, and I'll be glad to answer these prayers. Confession is a great way to add to your bank account in heaven. And then thanksgiving. Oh, this is fabulous. Psalm 50. The next type of prayer is thanksgiving. Psalm 50. And in Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15, there's something you and I need on a regular basis. Look at this. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pray, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Watch it. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now that verse, verse 15, may be well known to you. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But notice it's in the context of thanksgiving. Verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You see, when you offer thanksgiving to God, then you come seeking deliverance, and you're given the deliverance. In other words, the prayers of thanksgiving are the deposits, and that deliverance is the interest. That's where God comes through for you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, verses that you've probably memorized. If you haven't, you ought to. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, watch it, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you get that? When you pray with thanksgiving, you're putting a deposit up there for the Lord, something from which he can give you either a withdrawal or interest. And you know what the interest is on those prayers deposited? The peace of God that passes all understanding, that keeps your heart and your mind. Listen, you know people and you know yourself. If you've been around people at any length of time, one thing that comes as a fruit of the Spirit and one thing that is absolutely necessary in our Christian lives is peace. The Lord spoke to his disciples after his resurrection when he met them in the room there, and he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Listen, people need peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And when you start praying with thanksgiving, God gives you peace, and that keeps your heart and keeps your mind. Boy, that's something else now. You see, it's pretty interesting to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, laying up or praying up treasure in heaven. Very important. You do so by interceding for others, and God comes through on your behalf. By confession, cleaning up things between you, God comes through to give you deliverance. Thanksgiving, God comes through and gives you peace. And then finally, your personal prayers. And personal prayers pretty much are just straight withdrawals. I mean, there comes a time when you just got to get a hold of God, and God says, well, there's quite a balance here, and he comes through for you. I'll give you a good example. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he started praying to God that God would take that thing away. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul learned through that in his time of weakness and infirmity, his time of necessity and stress, his time of persecution, he was a wealthy man in God's grace. Because he realized that when he was weak, then he was strong, not by his own strength, but by the grace of God, which strengthened him beyond his own personal and physical and emotional and spiritual strength. And it took weakness, and it took the grace of God, and it took that answer to prayer for God to come through. So remember, when you pray for yourself, be content with the answer. Paul wanted that thorn to go away. God didn't take it away. He gave him something better. And when you're content with the answer, you can see that God's answer is better. But remember now, when you're going to pray like that, make sure you got some balance in your heavenly prayer bank account so God's got something to draw against on your behalf. Now, how do you open your prayer bank account? We're going to wrap this up real quick with a little invitation for you to consider trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know how you open up that account? Accept the prayers that Jesus prayed for you. Jesus Christ, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, right now is interceding on your behalf. He is praying for you to get saved. And listen, he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God through him, because he's praying for you. Now that you know that, you know what you need to do? Confess the Lord Jesus. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thank Jesus Christ for dying for you. Pray to receive him as your Savior. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. You ought to read the whole passage in John chapter 16, verses 23 to 24. Ask and you shall receive. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what? Your account is open today, and you can start making deposits. And one day, you may need to make a very large withdrawal, and you'll be glad you did. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.